So, as I stated in introductions, we're taking a break from Corinthians, sort of. We've been hitting heavy on the sin that was within the church in Corinth and then mirroring it to the sin we see in modern churches today, what we've allowed to creep in by just silence, not standing for the commands, what God commands of his people. So, to title this one, which is straight from a Bible verse itself, be not conformed to the world. Okay? And we have, we're going to start out in Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 1 through 20. Then we're going to go to John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. We're going to go to John chapter 10, verses 22 through 42. And we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through chapter 2, verse 11. I'm going to look at Romans 12. Yeah, the list grew like, wow. No. And it grew as I was worshiping, so there you have it. So, and what I'm trying to do here is, in going back to Isaiah, this is Isaiah coming to Judah, and basically calling them out on their wickedness, right? This was the start of judgment upon Israel. This same, you can mirror what Isaiah has come to tell the people of Judah, you can mirror it today with what we're doing in the American church and not preaching the whole counsel of God. And we soften the word of God. We've really made worship time probably one of the most carnal times in all the week, because the church leadership won't just say, "Thus saith the Lord." Bible tells to those who preach, we're to preach as the oracles of God. We're not to bend the word to shape a worldview. We are to preach the pure and unadulterated word of God. That is it. You can't add your opinion to it, because frankly, your opinion don't matter. Thus saith the Lord. So, let's dive in. This is a good piece of scripture here. Of the scriptures that we're gonna cover today. So we've got a little bit of a biblical marathon for us. Okay, so Isaiah chapter 1, the vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which what he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, the kings of Judah. Okay? Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children I have reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly. I don't even think I hit the door. I don't have to expound. Just look outside your window. Turn on the news. Okay? They have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. We have no desire to worship Him as He is. And the head knowledge that we do have is perverted by our own sinful desires, because we will not devote ourselves to the study of the Scriptures and to prayer. You don't know what you don't know, and you can't worship a God you don't know. And He has revealed Himself to us within the bounds of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. But you have pulpits across America that will preach their opinion. I think God's trying to say this. No, just say it. Ultimately, this is authoritative. This is not some guidelines. There's commands within the Bible. He calls what is evil is evil. He tells you what He hates. He tells you what He hates. Yet, you'll find some of those things that He hates within the walls of the church. This ought not be. Are we just like Judah? Are we just like Jerusalem? We have our wicked kings. That will say from the floor of the House of Representatives, the Word of God has no authority in the U.S. House of Representatives. You heard that one? From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, foreigners devour your land. It is desolate as overthrown by foreigners. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber field, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have all been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. He's speaking to the remnant. Hear the word of the Lord, your rulers, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. Now, Isaiah is coming this and proclaiming, calling Judah and Jerusalem, Sodom and Gomorrah. To the Hebrews, whoa. Don't you think he was in a bit of a predate? He could have been in a bit of a bind just proclaiming that. Isaiah does not hold back. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or the lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me, new moon and Sabbath, and the call of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. I cannot endure iniquity in solemn assembly. What is that? We can't mix sin with a solemn assembly of worshiping our Lord, because what? He cannot endure it. He cannot abide it. It's a stench to him. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. We ask God to bless our nation. We celebrate sexual perversion. We have large multitudes of people that shout out from the public square, abortion is a health right. The murder of 60 million children. Do you think he's hearing us? He's not. And, a matter of factly, when we come into the new covenant, he ain't come to save nations. He came to call people out of nations, tribes, and tongues, to make a people of his own. He called us out. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes, cease to do evil. Cease to do evil. Not cease to do a little evil. Cease to do some evil. Cease to do evil. All of it. All evil. What has he condemned in his word? Cease. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. We have such confusion amongst the church this day. Somehow we've superimposed the biblical nation of Israel, Old Testament Israel, onto the United States of America. That should never be. When we say one nation under God, we don't really mean it. We are one nation under God because all the nations are under him. But our response back to him? No. Not even close. Not even close. Isaiah received a vision from the Lord and went to the public square, and he tore their hands up. Where are the pastors today going to the public square and tearing hands up? Should we be okay with what's going on in this world? Are we not to speak the truth? Are we not to fight against the rampant wickedness in this world? Even our own sons and daughters are deluded, thinking they're wise. They have become fools because they have accepted what the world feeds them. And it's not based in sound logic. It's ridiculous. They We have traded the proper form and function for humankind and perverted it into something altogether unholy. And then the society says, yay, we'll have a parade for it. Nonsense. Nonsense. But there's a hope. John chapter 3. Starting in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. This is the judgment. That light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Now, to the atheist and agnostic's favorite argument, you still sin. You're a hypocrite. I don't want to gather with hypocrites. Yes, I'm a hypocrite. I'll boldly admit that I'm a hypocrite. But just as we sang just a little bit ago, the blood of Jesus covers me. And I no longer walk after the pattern and the sin of this world. Yes, I do fail, because I'm a man. But I'm covered. I'm forgiven. I'm not a rebel anymore. And by God's grace, as the days go by, he sanctifies me through the work of his Holy Spirit, just as he said he would if I but give my life to him. If I but consider myself a dead man, I will be saved. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Be open. Christian, be open with your struggles. Be open on how you came to Christ. You should know the moment. You should know the moment that the triune God of the universe invaded your life and caused you to walk different. But know this, if you continue to trip headlong into sin, if you can laugh at what the world laughs at, if you celebrate what the world celebrates, your security is not in Christ. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. There's many that claim to the state claims to the Christian faith, but live a life that's in direct opposition to what Christ taught. And when I say direct opposition, it's headlong sinning. The rampant grace abuse. Easy believism and rampant grace abuse. Well, I got grace, man. Dude, do you not desire to do different? Do you not read the sufferings of Christ and those who came after him preaching the gospel? Have you not read that? And know that when you come into, when you are born again, you no longer seek after the things of this world. You may trip up every now and again, but you don't seek after the things of this world. Because this world holds no treasure for us anymore. When we were walking headlong in sin, our treasure was found in this world. We lived for the next moment, didn't we? We lived for the next connection, the next gathering of friends, the next party, the next event. When you come to Christ, that all becomes emptiness. And it's like we read in Isaiah 1, it's of nothing. Why would I mix, like we covered last week, why would I mix myself with the prostitute? Why would I make myself one with an evil world? Unfortunately, there's Christians that live that, or people that profess Christianity that live exactly like that. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. He tells us that we're not like the world. If anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The Christian life is about self-sacrifice. The Christian life is about honesty. When I trip up, I need to admit that. And if I've sinned against a brother or a sister, I need to go and ask forgiveness. If I've sinned against God, well, then I need to hit my knees and repent. And repent means I don't do that no more. Turn me to John chapter 10. We're going to look at starting in verse 22. Now, at that time, the feast of dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me." Are you following them today? If you are, you're not walking after the pattern in this world. You're not going to enjoy the evilness of this world. You're not going to find identity in the things this world finds identity in, because my identity is hidden in who? In Christ. My strength comes from Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father, for which of them are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came in Scripture cannot be broken. Do not say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said I am the Son of God.' If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe them, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." Again, they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing at the first, and there he remained. And many came to him, and they said, John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true, and many believed in him there. Know this, Christian, it's not your job to convert. Thank the Lord. And you can't force somebody's hand to this. And that in and of itself is you're breaking heartstrings with the world. There's people that we love that just don't get it. They want to say, Lord, Lord, but not do what he says. But his sheep hear his voice. And they follow him. And those sheep are not conformed to the pattern of this world. Because they know their shepherd. They know their shepherd. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. The reason why I'm walking back all through this is because maybe it doesn't explicitly say in Corinthians that it doesn't give descriptors for the people except for one or two, right? It's in the opening chapters. He says, I'm thankful I didn't baptize any of you, you know, but there was two guys that baptized some, you know. But I thank God I didn't do it, right? And then you have the case of the man with his father's wife that he's talking explicitly to. I don't know if the whole church was jacked. It seems to me they were. That they were bringing in parts of what was going on in Corinth. Corinth was heavy into cult practices. Temples to many different gods. They had some of the most perverse things happen in Corinth. And what was happening is everything that Paul was calling out, the homosexuality, the greediness, the lustfulness, the adultery, all this was happening in Corinth, much like it happened, it's happening today in the United States of America. And he's exhorting them, it cannot stand. You can't keep doing this. If you keep doing this, he gave a method for the ones that were following after Christ to get rid of the ones that were doing it. Kick them out. Let the devil have them. Maybe. And handing them over to the devil that the Lord will save their soul. That they may recognize, uh-oh, I done messed up, uh-oh. Does that happen 100% of the time? No. But his sheep know his voice and they follow him. You can't tell me those of us that profess Christianity haven't been tripped up at times. We find ourselves in a valley surrounded by evil. Don't know how we got there. Have to think back on what did we do? Holy Spirit awakens us and we come running back. It's not out of the realm of possibility for a Christian to backslide. But if you're his sheep, when he calls, you know his voice and you return. I'm not talking about achieving a life of sinless perfection. You can't do that. You can't. But I can tell you this, every time that I felt away from Christ, it was because I moved. I stopped studying. My prayer life went very anemic. I didn't meditate on the things of God. I was meditating on my own, for my own selfish desires. Why did I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death? Because I put myself there. I ran away from myself. And thank God, I heard His voice. Is it the same for everyone? Is it the same for you today? Can you claim that same thing? Can you look back to the times in your life where you find yourself completely away from right fellowship, from right worship of God, and the faithfulness of our Lord and Savior, and the power of the Holy Spirit that brought you back and here you sit? Man, I could probably fill a book. But we're born again, right? We're born again. We're blessed. Peter opens up in this first letter of Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. God's people are tried people. We're in an irreconcilable war right now. Not until we die will it be made right. Or Jesus returns. We're in an irreconcilable war right now. As long as we're on top of the dirt, sucking up the Lord's air, we have to war against sin. We're in a fight. And first we have to guard our own hearts. And then we can help others along. We have to guard our own hearts first. If we don't fill ourselves up with the Word of God, if we're not in prayer daily, speaking to our Father, we're but an empty vessel. And we can't help anyone. That's why church is so important. That's why a Bible study is so important. Our regular gathering together, just fellowship. I love when everybody first gets in. It's like one of my favorite times. Hugging necks, you know, talking about the week. This is what it's meant by the body. Us coming together and sharing what we've gone through. How can we lift one another up? How can we help our brother and sister carry burdens if we don't want to listen to burdens? If we just, in a sterile manner, come into a church building, sit in a pew, hear the message, get up and walk out. It's not how we're supposed to function. We love because He first loved us. That love should shine through in everything that we do. Not only in our weekly interactions, but more importantly, that love should shine even brighter when we come together as a body. It's so good to worship just this little group. I love y'all. This is my favorite day of the week. There was a time in my life when I hated it. This is the day I look most forward to every week because I get to see y'all. And I get to thank God for the privilege of being able to do this. And somehow, some way, through the workings of the Holy Spirit, we've grown. I'm not talking about in size, but we've grown. How much have we learned in the last 3 years? How much has changed for us? How many healings have we seen? How How many blessings were we able to give out? God is good. Now let's go to verse 13. Or no. Yeah, verse 3. Starting. We darted at verse 3. Sorry. Verse 5. Who by God's power being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith. There is such a thing as genuineness of faith. You can't have faith in faith. Don't work that way. There's no such thing as having faith in faith. Why'd you say faith, man? Faith in what? That God from the beginning of time promised a way for sinful fallen man to be reconciled right back to a thrice holy God, as if our sins had been washed away. Our sins have been washed away. Christ died just as prophesied in the earth for 3 days, rose again, and has ascended with the Father, and this has been witnessed by a multitude. Historians outside the Bible even speak to it. The evil, unbelieving world don't want to see that. But starting with a ragtag bunch of fishermen and tax collectors, we stand here boldly on the rock of Christ, proclaiming the gospel, a gospel that can change your life. A gospel that can take a stony heart and turn it into a heart of flesh. A heart that will desire the things of God and not the things of this world. That will love Him as because He first loved us. So test the genuineness of your faith. More precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets prophesied about this, about the grace that was to be yours, searched and inquired carefully. Inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That was all the way back in Leviticus. Promise, or not the statement, the command has not changed. You can't claim right worship of the triune God of the universe and trip headlong into sin. Sin that you think are covered with no consequence. Cheapening the grace and mercy of God. You shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on Him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Oh, didn't we just sing that just a little bit ago? He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Genesis, Jesus, right there in Genesis, from the start. He's always existed with the Father and the Holy Spirit. All three in perfect relationship. Who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. And all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the Word of the Lord remains forever, and the Word is the good news that was preached to you. Everything in this life is temporal. Everything. The Christian does not live for this life. Christian lives for the next life. Temporal things. Jesus himself said, do not store up for yourselves treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy. Store up your treasures in heaven. We can look out into this world and be dismayed at the evil going on. Understand this, Christian. It is your duty. It is your duty. Not just the pastors. Not just the elders. Not the deacons. Not the music minister. Every Christian on this planet has the duty to call evil, evil. Has the duty to share the gospel with a lost and dying world. Every last one of us. You can't worship in secret. You can't worship in secret. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Have you tasted that the Lord is good in your life? Has he blessed you? Not with earthly things. Has he blessed you? A renewed mind. A renewed heart. An affection for the rule, the commands of God. An affection for your enemy. An affection for your family. New affection. An affection that's borne out by the clear commands and teachings of the Lord. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do." Destined to do. Thank God. Thank God for calling us out. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." And you take that, being called out of darkness into his marvelous light, and go back and read the passage from John chapter 3. And you'll be able to thank him today. You'll go to him with a thankful heart. "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul." Our own human lust wages war against us. We want position. We want titles. We want what we want, like a spoiled child. And if we give any semblance of knowledge that there is a God above us, we want him to give, like a spoiled, petulant child. Here's another one of the arguments, right? Well, you sin too. It would be injustice if God sent me to hell. Let me get you to understand something really, really good right now. Nobody gets injustice. Nobody. Not a one of us. We either get mercy or we get justice. Only two options. Coming underneath the blood of Christ and receiving the mercy of the triune God of the universe, or I receive the due punishment for my rebellion. There's no injustice. Turn with me to Romans 12. Starting in verse 1, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." I'm going to read that again. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." How do we do that? The blood of good Christian men and women gave us this in our own language. The grace of God throughout history
has enabled us to know who God is. What are we? Lazy? Slothful? Say, yeah, I believe in a God, but you don't want to know Him. You haven't read the book. You deny Him. You haven't read the book. That's like me claiming I can go do a liver transplant and never went to medical school. How do you know you don't believe it? You're speaking out of ignorance. Are you taking the lofty opinions of whoever you put up on a pedestal as truth? When all the information is right here, and you're either too spiteful, lazy, or slothful to read it for yourself. You don't know what you don't know. You can't just completely say no without taking the time to read it. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in serving the one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. And the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Cheerfulness. Check your heart. Have you ever done an act of mercy and grumbled about it? God's put you in a position to help. To bring someone alongside of you. To help disciple. And sometimes we'll grumble. Oh God, not him again. He exasperates me. Or she exasperates me. She drives me up the wall. We need to test ourselves. To see whether we'll be found with our Lord and Savior. So, marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Do you see how we've just mixed that up in the church today? Not going to the Word of God to know what is evil and what is good. We take the opinions of men. And we take the opinions of the world and we try to drag it into our worship. No. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Can we be honest? When we're in tribulation, are we patient? Are we patient at all? Or we cry out, why God me? Why are you doing this to me? Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Seek to show hospitality. Sometimes we make hospitality into a back-breaking chore. Run around stressed. Everything's got to be just in the right spot. Come on now. It's not so much worry about that presentation of hospitality, but there's the spirit that goes with it. That's what he's worried about. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. A lot of people like to twist that one up, right? Or use it as a sideways revenge on your enemy.
Or just heap coals on your head. Mm-hmm.
That's not what it means. That's going to cause your enemy to think. That's going to cause your enemy to ponder his ways. Why? When I do evil him or to her, do they look out for my well-being? Do not be overcome by evil. Do not be overcome by evil. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See these marks of the true Christian. And I want this to be done. I want to take this in parallel. Everything we've covered in Corinthians so far, in 1 Corinthians so far, you find the attributes here in Romans 12 and any of the parts that we've covered so far in the church of Corinth. Do you want better? Go back to Isaiah 1. Read that again. Just the passage I gave you. And then go read the seven letters to the churches in the book of Revelation. We're not immune to tripping up. We're not immune to slipping back into an old pattern. It's God who sustains us. It is God who saves us. We have no hand in it. And you want me to take it down one better? Really sit and think. If you believe that you've had any hand in the salvific process, and record the time you read your Bible this week. Record the amount of time you spend in prayer. Just to gauge, test yourself. Not saying that ultimately your salvation is tied up in you reading the Bible, but you can't know what salvation means and what salvation is unless you've read your Bible.
you won't know the depths of what, of from which you've been rescued unless you've read your Bible. You can't get an accurate portrait of who God is, what He requires, and the full payment on Calvary for your sins unless you've read your Bible. What keeps me from conforming to the world's patterns? Well, I give myself over to what God commands. I study my Bible. I pray. It's not just in the works of me studying my Bible and praying. This is not a me issue. I'm sacrificing time in this evil world to let God do His work in my heart and in my mind, renewing my mind and renewing my heart, because I love Him. And sometimes, and even in reading my Bible, I find out how shallow my love is at times. How shallow it can become. How flippant I can be in certain situations. How often I open my mouth without thinking. I've had it happen to me this week. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. I have to say, when you read those first few chapters of Corinthians, I don't know what they were doing, the church in Corinth. And considering growing up in church in my life, I look back and I don't know what we were doing, quite honestly. I didn't matter denomination to denomination, because even denominations, they look down on one. I'm more holy than you. No, you ain't. You're the same bruised up turd that I am. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ that I have any standing. Same for you. We take piety to a level that is unhealthy. We make it personal piety and not be holy, for He is holy. A personal piety can turn itself into judgment on people who, quite frankly, you can't judge, right? We sneer at the wino. We look down our nose at the homosexual. This is one thing I need people to understand, even in the message that I've taught over the last couple of weeks about homosexuality, the sin of homosexuality. I don't hate homosexuals. Don't hate them. I would have them come to Jesus Christ. That's what I want. For He can change that mind. He can change the heart. He can take the abuses suffered in their lives, turn them into joy. They would just listen to the gospel and heed the commands of God, that He puts these things on us not as a heavy burden. What He commands of us is light. What He commands of us is to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Problem is, we don't know who our neighbors are, and we don't know what love means. Why? We refuse to study. Because this, in and of itself, is a perfect portrait of what love means. It gives you the wrong, and it gives you the right examples. And it moves across the land, across the globe, to ban this. As hellish as most world most governments are right now, can you imagine what they would turn to be like without the restraint of this in bold men? Hell on earth. That's what it would be. Be not conformed to this world, Christian. Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. I can't emphasize enough. I always wondered why my grandfather would spend hours and hours sitting at his desk. I was little. He spent hours and hours with his Bible, just reading and underlying in the quiet. What's he doing that for? By the grace of God, I understand now. We can't be lazy. We can't be slothful. What does the Bible say about Satan? He prowled around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. And what do we say? There's only two options. You follow after the pattern in this world, you got justice coming. If you follow, you're not conformed to this world, and you follow after the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, you get that beloved and mercy. A mercy that even right now, us in our frail human form, we can't understand. We know it's good. We gotta know it's better than what we can conjure up in our minds. We just can't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Lord, we thank you for this time. We're able to gather, to come together, to hear the clear commands of your word, Father. The examples given to us from the Old Testament to the New, Father, of what right worship means, what to be an adopted son and daughter means in this life. Father, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit rests with us, and then, Lord, that it allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, Lord, to find those dark places. Lord, that they may be exposed, that we may repent, and we may walk renewed and after the pattern of our Savior. And Lord, in all that renewal, Lord, that we go out into this world and share the gospel, for the gospel is love. Not love as the world defines it, but as you have defined it from all eternity. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.